flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
I can't help but wonder, as we got this news to yesterday, the report from John Heyman that Steve Cohen is back into the fray and that the Mets and Pete Alonso are once again, after really being dormant for a while, as far as negotiation talks go, that the Mets and Pete Alonso are talking once again. So I'm still on the point that I still believe, and it doesn't really matter because no matter what happens now, I still won't think I'm wrong. I don't think David Stearns wants him, plain and simple, right? That's what I've been saying forever. I don't think David Stearns wants him at really any of the prices we're talking about, unless Pete really tucks his tail between his legs and comes back to the Mets and all, and is willing to take whatever the Mets offer. Now, there's reports that it's going to be tough, that the feeling is Pete is not going to get anywhere near the same type of offers from other teams that he has already gotten from the Mets, even though he's disappointed with it. And obviously we heard at FanFest how frustrated Steve Cohen is with the structure of the deal presented by Scott Boras and Pete Alonso. And I got to tell you, I started to feel a little bit differently about Pete going back to the Mets because I've been on the record saying he's not going to go back to the Mets. I felt a little differently after hearing Steve Cohen speak on it. Because although I still firmly believe that David Stearns wants no part of it, I do think the owner does. And I do think as long as the owner convinces David Stearns that whatever fair contract, because I don't think he'll push David Stearns to do something that David Stearns is 100% dead set against. Like, they're not going to negotiate against themselves. We'll see what these negotiations bring. But if Pete Alonso comes to his senses, as many fans would want to tell you he should, and tells Boras, listen, forget this, man. Let's sign with the Mets. Whatever the deal is, let's just take it. I think the owner would convince David Stearns to do it and say, hey, look, it's worth it to us. We need him in the middle of the lineup. We do want to win this year. And I promise you, whatever we want to do next, you know, David's whether you want to go out and get Vladimir Guerrero Jr., whether you want to go get Tucker, whoever we want to go get, you know, a couple of years of Pete with a possibility of an opt-out is not going to prevent us from doing such. And that's where I started to think maybe there is a venue for Pete to come back, because you could tell Steve Cohen was invested. Not just aware of the situation, not just, hey, yeah, you know what? What David Stearns tells me is it seems like a really contentious negotiations, and we don't like, you know, I don't like, and I feel strongly about it. Those were his words at Amazing Day when he tried to tell you that negotiations are over. I mean, that's how I took it. I took it as, hey, we've been trying this. the structures are terrible for us and completely one-sided. And unless things change, we're going to move on from Pete. And a day later, 2 days later, back into negotiations, I think there's a chance this owner, who loves giving you what you want, loves giving you the statues you want, loves giving you the uniforms you want, loves giving you the retired numbers you want, old timers day that you want, I think he actually heard the fans. I have to admit, I think he understood that most fans wanted Pete. I think he went to that amazing day and had it overrun in some ways by negativity about the Pete Alonso situation. And I'm not saying it was a cloud around the whole day. You know, there were interviews with players and former players, and it seemed like a great time. But at least his Q&A and what happened there, it was overrun by negativity about not bringing back Pete Alonso. I think this owner is reacting to, whether it be the limited amount of fans or whatever the case may be at that amazing day, I think he's reacting to the fans and willing to go back and negotiate. Now, I still don't think he'll take a structure of a deal he doesn't believe in. I'm not saying he's going to cave in that aspect, because if it is the structure that Evan reported, where it's like a reverse opt-out, a reverse buyout, where if he opts out, you have to pay him more. If he feels dead set against that, I don't think he's going to change that negotiation or be willing to give up that part of the contract, because Pete has no real argument on it. Right? His market's collapsed. I don't think anyone else is willing to do that structure. And I don't think Steve Cohen has to go against his core belief of that structure is inherently unfair. So I don't think Steve Cohen's going to get back into this negotiation and be willing to cave on some hard set rules he believes and structures he believes in. But I think he might be willing to give a little bit now if he's going to go back into these negotiations. And we'll see. Now, again, it's coming from John Heyman, who, without being on the take, no one is suggesting John Heyman is doing anything wrong. He just has a very good source inside Scott Boras's inner circle, or Scott Boras himself. And typically, we have been led to believe, and it seems like, John Heyman gets a lot of sources from the agent, which is perfectly normal, perfectly fine. Some guys have better ins with the Mets or the teams, and some guys have better ins with the agents. It's perfectly normal. I'm laying it on thick. But typically, Heyman has been known to get his information from the Boras side of things. So if Boras wants it out there that Steve Cohen is back into the negotiation, how does that benefit Scott Boras? I'm curious about that. Like, why? Just to say, oh, the Mets are back in, to drum up something from the Blue Jays? To drum up something from another team that's, you know, oh, the Mets are out? Because typically you want to involve other teams to get the team you're talking to in reinvested, reengaged. Acknowledging that the Mets are reengaged, I don't know how it benefits him going back to the Mets. So I don't know how to read this, and maybe I'm looking too much into it, but that's what we've had to do this entire time with Pete Alonso. It's all been the wackiest negotiation with a million different stories, and no one knows what to believe or what's real, and I'm just trying to play this game and go, well, why is this now breaking from John Heyman, who typically gets his information, or typically, you know, you feel like Scott Boras is the guy he's been getting his stuff from. So if that's the case, why is Scott Boras leaking the Mets are back in negotiations? How does that benefit going back to the Mets? The Mets know they're reengaged in negotiations. To rile up the fan base for more last-second cries of, get it done this time! Get it done this time! That's what I think. I think everybody saw. Steve Cohen saw. Pete Alonso saw. Scott Boras saw. There is an outcry from this fan base to get this done. And I think both sides... One, the Mets recognized it a little bit. And two, Scott Boras is going to try to use it and put it out there that, oh, the Mets have reengaged, so that Met fans call me up or Met fans call up the afternoon show and say, look, if you're willing to deal with them, let's just get this thing done. And I do believe Steve Cohen wants him on a level I wasn't sure of. I still don't think David Stearns wants him. And again, if you want him, you get it done. Like, they're willing to do it for the right deal. Pretty much, I think, to appease the fan base more than even how much they believe it helps them win or helps build the roster they want. I think the boos, and again, I don't think the boos were directed directly at Steve Cohen or directly at David Stearns, but just the boos on the situation for a player who has hit a lot of home runs from them and played well for them. For we're talking about, you know, 20-something million dollars a year. It's not like, it's going to be in the low 20s. And I think that just for a couple of million dollars, it's starting to make more sense to Steve Cohen. So hopefully this last thing is promising, because I do want Pete Alonso back with the Mets. I do. And I think that makes them a far better team this year. And this year is important. So we'll see what happens from this point on. But I was surprised how invested Steve Cohen sounded at Amazing Day and how annoyed he sounded. And you only get annoyed if you care. So I thought he would be indifferent to Pete and let David Stearns do it. And I think David Stearns wants no part of it, but the owner seems more invested than I thought. And now if the Mets are re-engaging, I think we've gotten to the point where it's Boris and it's Cohen. And if they get to that point and you know, Pete wants to be a Met and tells Scott, look, get off the stuff that you know they're not going to do. What's the point? Let's work on getting me as much money as possible and forget these structures. Let's just, you know, maybe if I drop the structure, give me another $2 million a year. Something along those lines. Something where both sides would be willing to give, because it makes too much sense for both sides to not come together. Because it won't prevent them from doing anything. So we'll see if this is a last-ditch effort, because Steve Cohen told you, unless things change, we're moving on. And now a day later, they're back into negotiations.
Somebody will be put on trial coming up at 5 o'clock, and Judge Tiki will rule. But over the weekend, the Mets had an amazing day. It was very cool. I was out there. I mean, technical difficulties on the Rico Bronya, but it was still a lot of fun meeting people, hanging out, having fun. But the highlight of this amazing day, which I don't think anyone saw coming, was that Steve Cohen and David Stearns would be a part of a panel in front of all these Met fans.
Right. And kept it straight real.
And they would be asked about Pete Alonso and would give very, very honest answers. So there were two things, and I want to play the entire clip uninterrupted, because I think context matters, and I think sometimes when you play a portion of a clip, you just need to hear everything, from the crowd reactions to what David said to what Steve said. So we're going to play the whole thing. It's about 3 minutes long if you haven't heard it. If you did, you'll enjoy it again. But one thing I want to just put out on notice, there's a lie going around, and maybe lie is too strong. To me, there's a huge element of what happened that I don't see as the truth. And that is the idea that my fellow Met fans booed David Stearns. That did not happen.
I kept hearing that.
That's been repeated over and over again, as if it's a fact. Now, we're going to play the clip, and that's the beautiful thing about it. You can hear the clip and say, you're wrong, Evan. They booed David Stearns, and that's fine. We can debate it. Or you can say, people lied to me for the last 48 hours. David Stearns was not booed by New York Met fans. So I want you to listen to that early in this clip. And then, of course, you'll hear Steve Cohen lay down the truth bombs. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is Gary Cohen interviewing David Stearns and Steve Cohen live from Citi Field at Amazing Day. And, of course, the subject of Pete Alonso came up. Uh-oh. That's not it. Time out. One more time. Build it up dramatically. They were at Citi Field. It's Amazing Day. And David Stearns and Steve Cohen and Gary Cohen are all sitting with each other. And the topic of Pete Alonso came up.
With those just few weeks left, the big elephant in the room is the fact that Pete Alonso is still a free agent. David, where do things stand?
I think, you know, we all love Pete, and we've said that many times. And I think as we've gone through this process, we've continued to express that. And we also understand that this is a business, and Pete, as a free agent, deserves the right and has the right and earned the privilege, really, to see what's out there. We also feel really good about the young players who are coming through our system, who have the ability to play at the major league level. We saw that last year. And that's not always the most popular opinion, but we saw that last year. And we're going to need to see it again.
Hey, hold on, guys. Hold on, guys. All right, so guys, hold that for the end, okay? We've made a significant offer to Pete, what Davis says correct, he's entitled to go out and explore his market, and that's what he's doing. Personally, this has been an exhausting conversation and negotiation. I mean, Soto was tough. This is worse. Okay? And a lot of it is, we've made a significant... I don't like the structures that are being presented back to us. I think it's highly asymmetric against us. And I feel strongly about it. And so, I will never say no. You know, there's always the possibility. But the reality is, we're moving forward and, we continue to bring in players. And as we continue to bring in players, the reality is, it becomes harder to fit Pete into a, what is a very expensive, group of players that we already have. And that's where we are. And I'm being brutally honest. I don't like the negotiations. I don't like what's been presented to us. Maybe that changes, and certainly, I'll always stay flexible. If it stays this way, I think we're going to have to get used to the fact that, we may have to go forward and with the existing players that we have.
So,
that's not booing.
Thank you. That was not booing.
Right. But what I did take away from that is that Steve Cohen is not going to be punked.
No.
And he is pissed off. And it's mostly at Scott Boras.
Yes.
But it's seeped to Pete.
Well, Pete's the boss at the end of the day.
Pete's in charge of this.
Absolutely.
Now, you can claim ignorance. It is not an excuse. Right?
You're right. And ignorance is not an excuse.
So Pete can't sit there and say, I didn't know that he was saying all this. You clearly knew he was offering these things that is upsetting your owner and your president of baseball operations to the point where they have basically, in their minds, already moved off of you.
Yeah.
And Pete's stuck right now because for pride reasons, you don't want to be underpaid, especially after you've waited so long to be paid by your homegrown team. But you got to handle these things the right way. And Scott Boras did not.
Scott Boras has failed him.
Well, he's absolutely failed him because, I mean, we know what was going on here. Scott Boras is promising, I'm going to get you this much money. And he's not even close to it.
Right.
And now he's stuck.
Look, I want Pete Alonso back, okay? That's besides the point. How can anyone hear what Steve Cohen said and say, I don't believe
it? Well, that's why they cheered him at the end.
Of course they did. Because even if you want Alonso back the way I do, and a lot of people in that audience do, most of us try to be reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Cohen is not just going to give Scott Boras whatever he wants.
Right.
He doesn't like the negotiations. He doesn't like some of the structures that Scott's offered. I've heard what some of them are. He's crazy, and he's not getting it. And right now, you're not going to negotiate against yourself.
Nope.
So I think what Steve Cohen did on Saturday was really important and is a lesson for the other owners and executives in this town. Just be honest. We can handle hard truths.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the hard truth I'm learning to handle.
That's a very good point, Evan.
It's the truth, though.
Because you can't interpret it any other way. You can't say, well, I heard this and I speculate this. You know exactly what was going on.
Yes.
They want to keep Pete Alonso, but Pete Alonso's and Scott Boras are not offering or counter-offering, I should say, because we know that the Mets have made an offer. We don't know what the counter-offer is from the Boras side, but they're not offering anything that's fair.
Right.
And they don't have to take it.
And we can understand that. Like, I think most Met fans walked away from what Steve said, whether they were in the building that day or heard the clip here on The Fan with Tommy over the weekend or here right now or watching on YouTube, is, I get it, Steve. I want Pete Alonso back, but I get it. And that's what being an owner is. Mm-hmm. Just be honest with us. He was honest with us. No one in their right mind thinks Steve's lying.
No.
That Steve really doesn't want him back and he's playing a game. We know Scott Boras. We know his game. And so you hear Steve Cohen dropping these truths and you say, I get it. I hope it works out. Because, look, the next step here is when Pete Alonso signs elsewhere, if that's the case, we're all going to see the contract terms, and one of the reactions we may have is, hey, Steve, why don't you match that? Hey, David, why don't you match that? That's the next step. But until that happens, until there is an offer for Pete Alonso, we're living in this world, the world where Steve Cohen told all of us what's going on. And we hear it and we say, that makes sense. So I appreciate Steve Cohen being honest. Now let's get to dishonesty. David Stearns was not booed. Okay? He was not booed. He got cheered when he talked about how much he liked Pete Alonso. Does that mean David Stearns was getting cheered? Not really. Mm-hmm. The crowd was reacting to what he said.
Yeah.
So when he said, I like Pete, crowd's like, yeah, we like Pete. When he said, and this is what got booed, I'm going to explain this very carefully to people that do not understand this. They booed him saying, we've got good young players, as if that's the plan for when Pete leaves. It's not that they hate Brett Beatty or Luis Angel Acuna. It's Met fans are saying, yeah, we don't like that.
Right.
Doesn't mean we don't like you. Doesn't mean we want you fired. It means we don't like the internal plan. And here's what's funny about this. Whether it works or not, we'll find out, right? We'll find out in a year. We'll find out if it was brilliant or not. Most Met fans who call this radio station or go on Twitter or talk to their friends at bars feel the exact same way. Mm-hmm. They don't love the internal backup plan. And that's what they were booing. They weren't booing the person. They weren't booing Steve Cohen. And I'm sick and tired of Met fans being shamed about it because it's not true. We weren't idiots who were booing David Stearns. I got an email from one guy after I did this diatribe last night on the Rico who said, hey, I was there. I booed. Here's why I booed.
Right.
And it's exactly what I just said. They weren't booing David Stearns. So please, for the love of God, stop with this. That's not what happened. And we just played the clip. So if you disagree, at least you heard it and you're able to say, yes, I heard it. You're wrong. You heard it, but they're booing David Stearns.
No, they were not booing David Stearns. Maybe they're unhappy with the potential replacement of Pete Alonso with Brett Beatty because it doesn't feel like that's a winning formula, per se. But again, we don't know that that's not a winning formula.
Right, but we have a right as fans to say, I don't like that plan.
Right, but that's not booing David
Stearns. That's not booing David Stearns. That's disagreeing with David Stearns.
Right.
Sean is the biggest troll usually. Would you admit, Met fans, we're not booing David Stearns, or do you want to fight with me right now? Because I'll fight you if you need to.
No, they were doing the old wrestling promo. They were just booing and cheering things that were said.
That you put that very well, actually.
Cheap heat.
Yeah. It's a wrestling promo.
Like, let's say I was a wrestler and I was at, I don't know, Barclays Center and I said this.
And that's still in the league.
I would get booed.
I never thought about it that way, Sean.
So
true. A wrestling promo.
It's the heat for where you are. If I went into Madison Square Garden and I said, you haven't won a title since 1973, I get booed.
Right, but then if you say, but Carl Anthony Towns was the greatest signing we've had. Trade, I should say, not signing.
Right. That's what happened. So, my fellow Met fans, we don't need to be shamed, okay? Because we didn't do anything wrong. No one did anything wrong. You didn't boo David Stearns. If you were one of those people that were there and you booed, I know you didn't boo David Stearns. You didn't say, he sucks, fire him.
I was wrong about that.
He didn't even do that. We just don't like the backup plan. Now,
that's my bad.
I will tell you this. After listening to what Steve said and what David said, my humble opinion, there's no way Pete's coming back.
He's definitely coming back.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Why? 100%. Because
you think he shamed him?
He shamed him. There's no market for him. He called, not even Scott Boras' bluff. It's basically like Daddy saying, all right, enough. Stop whining in the back seat. We'll be at Disney World in 3 hours. Shut up. Let's, you know, we'll get there when we get there. Like, there's no, what is Scott Boras going to do at this point?
Well, this is how Scott operates. So he steals people's clients by saying, I guarantee you I'm getting you X, whatever that number is going to be, $200 million, whatever, who knows what it's going to be. And so Pete, oh, that sounds amazing. I'm going to fire my existing agent, and I'm going to hire Scott Boras because he's going to get me more money. And then he doesn't realize that the market for Pete was never going to be that high, ever, right? Because we're talking a 10-year, not even, let's say an 8-year, $28 million deal. That's what it would have taken. Right? You know what I mean? And it just was going to happen.
Of course
right?
not.
The number of years he has left at the viable age number it's too short for him to even get close to like these massive numbers. It wasn't going to work. And so Pete bought it, fired his agent, created a controversy internally, because now you have Scott Boras beating him over the head for Juan Soto and then turning right around and trying to beat him over the head for Pete Alonso.
Right.
And Steve Cohen said, I'm good, man. Well, we're done.
That's why I don't think, like, I get your point, Tommy, that's what Steve did. Steve said, all right, daddy's home, as you say. I ain't taking this crap. I agree with that part. The part I just don't agree with is that Pete Alonso, between today and the next few weeks, is literally going to order Scott Boras to take the Mets' best offer. I don't see it happening, because I think Pete Alonso, and I have no knowledge that this is really the case, I'm speculating, I think Pete's probably pissed at the Mets right now and looks at all of this and says, you guys aren't treating me like family, you guys aren't respecting me, and I don't think he's going to turn around and ask for forgiveness.
I
don't see it, bro.
I love Pete. Nobody else wants to sign him.
Someone will sign him, maybe not for what he's asking for.
The Cubs, maybe.
Or Toronto, but someone's going to make him an offer, and it may be what the Mets did. It may be that bad.
And he'll take it anyway.
And I think he'll take it. Yeah. I think I don't have the faith, and I wish I did, that Pete's going to grow the pear to call up Boras, fire him, or order him to take the Cohen offer. Because the Mets aren't budging. I'm telling you right now, that Met offer, he better pray it's still there.
Yeah.
That's the spot he's in right now.
He basically said, we're signing new people. We're signing other players. And the more of those we sign, the less room there is for Pete.
Which means that offer may not actually be there.
That's fine. But signing Minter, signing Winker are not Pete Alonso replacements.
It's about filling out your roster.
It's about the money.
Right.
And Steve said that. It's a very expensive. Again, you don't have to agree with it. You can yell at him all you want.
I found that to be BS.
Okay, I disagree.
I think that's a scare tactic.
I don't think it is anymore. Now, it may work out that way. And I hope you're right, Tommy. I want to come in here and say, boy, you positive Tommy had his greatest positive moment. He was right about this. And Pete just says, screw it. I'm back. And he makes a deal. I don't think that was a negotiation tactic. I think that was Steve saying, I'm going to tell you the truth. And I'm pissed. That's what I think it was. And I don't have enough confidence in Pete, as much as I love him, that he's going to have the guts to turn around and fire his agent or order his agent to just take the offer.
See,
I don't see it, man.
This still feels like a power struggle between Stearns and Boras. I think that the middlemen should be weeded out and Pete should call Steve Cohen and get a deal done.
No, we've been saying that for a few weeks.
Forget the agents, enough.
I 100% agree with you, and that's the only way it's going to get salvaged. This has got to be a man-to-man thing.
Agreed. I think Pete's got to call up Steve Cohen, and I just don't know if that's going to happen. I really don't. I don't have that confidence that this is going to be worked out. Now, what are we going to say when Pete officially leaves? Are Met fans going to forget what Steve said on Saturday and say, screw him, he let us down, a homegrown Met? I don't know. I think it's going to be based on what he ends up getting. But I think what he ends up getting paid will determine how Met fans feel about
this. You're dead to me.
But in the short term, Steve Cohen did the right thing. And I hope all executives in this town realize that sometimes the truth is just the easiest thing.
Right.
Sometimes just coming out and saying, here's the deal. Like, he laid it out. He hates the negotiations. He couldn't have been any more blunt about it.
And there was no ambiguity about it.
That's right.
Wasn't trying to pull, I don't know, a facade over it. He was exactly as it was.
The Pete Alonso situation is mirroring the Saquon Barkley situation. I'm not quite there with you. There's a lot of similarities there, but I can't quite get there because, to me, it was much easier to see Saquon Barkley going to the Philadelphia Eagles and getting in that program with all those weapons and everything else and the great roster that they have and succeeding than Pete Alonso going somewhere else in more of an individual type of role and succeeding.
Well, you know, my reasoning for this is because Pete and Saquon both were popular players with their respective franchises that brought them up. And would have liked to have been longtime Giants and Pete, in Pete's case, a longtime Met, an all-time Met, let's put it that way. And he's right on the cusp of breaking the home run record for a Met player passing Darryl Strawberry. So that's something to be said about that as well. The other thing, too, is kind of like the age discussion about and the positions that they play. And, you know, for Saquon, it was injury and it was running back. You know, now you got a 30-year-old first baseman. You know, and it's like a fight. It's like a fight with one of your own. And Giant fans are seeing the remnants of that fight. And now the Met fans possibly could see also the remnants of that by with him wearing another uniform. That's all I was talking about, because they're both popular. They both have been all-stars. They both have put up big numbers in different years for the Giants with Saquon after he, you know, unfortunately got hurt a couple times. And then Pete had an off year this year, but yet the team still made it to the playoffs, and he still had a huge hit in a big moment for the team.
Yeah, I mean, and what a memorable moment, something that we will never forget. But the only reason that it could be exactly perfect is if the Mets stink and Pete Alonso has a great year for a good team.
That would have to be the future, yeah.
It's right. Them. But I
but
just,
that's what I'm saying. Like, that could happen.
It could happen, but you know, we felt
especially
like,
if you're fighting over like $2 million a year or whatever they're fighting over.
Yeah, and I think this has a lot to do with, as I said last week, that Steve Cohen worked with Scott Boras and did everything that they asked for and gave them everything that they asked for to get Juan Soto here. Bent over backwards. Now he's dealing with Pete Alonso, and Scott Boras is nitpicking and trying to get more and get more out of this and get more out of that. Now, if you're Scott Boras, say these are two completely different situations, different clients. I'm going to do the same thing I do for Juan Soto as I do for Pete Alonso, all of those things. But when you're in Steve Cohen's seat and you're like, dude, I just did all, now you're trying to take advantage of me.
Yeah, but here, now if you're in Pete Alonso's seat yourself, this guy, Juan Soto, hasn't done jack squat for the Mets yet, and we just gave him $750 million. And, you know, like, I know he's a great hitter. He ain't no five-tool player, I can tell you that. He's only going to hit. That's it. He's hitting. He may play a decent right field, but that's it. Now, I've been here my entire career. I've hit home runs. I've gone to the home run hitting contest. I've been an all-star. I've been a fan favorite. Yeah, I had a little bit of an off year this past year. So now, from Pete Alonso's perspective, you're like, you know, you're a human being as well. I don't care how much money they offer you. They're not going to offer you enough. You're never going to be happy with it. But on top of that, you're dealing with a team that just gave a guy $750 million. And he hasn't done anything for the Mets yet.
Yeah. So everybody's got a point.
Everybody's got an emotional point. Everybody, you know, everybody's just got to back away from it for a second. And, you know, maybe Steve Cohen, look, it's your money. You bought the team. He's a fan favorite. Just go a little bit more and get him here. And just get him here so we don't have to relive what we're living right now through with the Giant fan and one of their star players.
Yeah, I mean, I really think this is more on Pete than it's on the Mets. I think that when it comes to who Pete is at this point in his career and fair market value, I mean, the Philadelphia Eagles were willing to pay more than the Giants were willing to pay, and the Giants weren't going to go that.
A little bit more.
Right, but I mean, if the Boras and Alonso camp had an offer that was more than what the Mets were offering, then they would have taken it by now.
All right, let me ask you a question. Do you think that the Philadelphia Eagles would be in the Super Bowl without Saquon Barkley? No way.
I mean, the same team made it to the Super Bowl without Saquon Barkley. Same wide receivers, same quarterback. Kenneth Gainwell was the running back, along with others. I mean, you know.
Saquon Barkley had over 2,000 yards on the ground.
But what I'm saying is this team, for the most part, very similar football team without Saquon Barkley, made it to the Super Bowl.
He had a top 10, and when it's all over said and done with, depending on what he does in the Super Bowl, maybe the greatest single season any running back's ever had if he wins the Super Bowl and he's the MVP for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, he is. He had an incredible season. I'm just, the point being, though, you have to bring it up, is when the Eagles had zero running backs, they were able to get there. Now, Saquon had a big part of this team. There's no doubt about it. But I don't know who their replacement would have been. I don't know if they would have given him, you know, half of what Saquon did or three quarters of what Saquon did. But, yeah, he was in the MVP conversation. He's not going to win it. He had an incredible year.
So Juan Soto was in the Yankee lineup. And who had an unbelievable, monstrous year?
Oh, Aaron Judge.
Right. And it's Aaron Judge in my eyes. And I know Shohei Ohtani's a pitcher and a hitter, but as just a baseball player who plays baseball, the position every single day, he, in my eyes, is either number one or number two in terms of being the best baseball player in the league. And his numbers went up because of Juan Soto, and I think Juan Soto benefited from him. And I think the same thing could be said about Pete Alonso, although he doesn't hit for the average that Aaron Judge hits for. But Pete Alonso, at minimum, with Juan Soto in the lineup, is going to hit at minimum 35 to 40 home runs and probably knock in 90 to 105 RBIs. That's minimum.
Right. And I was really surprised at the candidness of Steve Cohen in these negotiations. And once I heard that, I was swayed. To me, all the blame now goes to Scott Boras and Pete Alonso, especially Scott Boras, because, well, no, because Scott Boras works for Pete, so they have to share responsibility in it. But they want him back, and they want him back at a fair market value. And he says the structuring of this deal is completely unfair to the New York Mets, and he's not going to sign it.
Meaning that they're trying to extract more money up front and then give him an opportunity to opt out on the back end.
Probably.
That's probably what they're talking about.
Probably, yeah.
Yes.
And if I'm Steve Cohen, I'm not setting that precedent. I'm not
doing
it.
You just set a precedent by giving the guy the richest contract in the history of baseball, and he doesn't even pitch. No.
Hold on. That is a 26-year-old superstar that they brought in from the other team, where it's not a 31-year-old aging first baseman who had the worst year of his career.
They're offering him a 3-year deal. They're not offering him a 7-year deal. So, I mean, there is compromise that they've come off of that long-term deal because he knows nobody's going to give it to him because of his age and because of his production last year. But I'm thinking that his age is one thing, but he plays almost every game. It's kind of like Eli Manning, plays every game. He's out there. He's a fan favorite. The Giants went an extra 2 or 3 years with Eli, recognizing, you know, what he meant to the team. Now, of course, he won Super Bowl MVPs. That's a different story. But I think that they are trying to meet halfway, and hopefully he's going to be a Met. I want him to be a Met. Pete Alonso, if he doesn't sign with the Mets and he goes somewhere else and he hits 50 home runs and knocks at 120 RBIs, that would be like the Giants losing Saquon Barkley. I wish I could take credit for that. I can't. I don't necessarily know that. It's kind of the same situation. Like, Pete's had some really good moments here, and then he's had some awful moments here. And Saquon had some really good moments here, and then had some awful moments here.
Yeah, I mean, the Giants did offer Saquon a deal that he turned down previously into free agency, just like Pete Alonso. That was very similar. Decided to go into free agency, and then there was another team that was willing to pay more, give more guaranteed money than the Giants were, and the Giants would have brought him back on a certain deal, but they weren't going to go where the Eagles were going.
Kind of like where the Mets are, right?
Yeah, so I mean, it is that way. But I feel like, though, the Mets want Pete Alonso more than the Giants ever wanted Saquon.
The latest report is that he wants the Mets, and the Mets are indifferent towards him.
Well, but you can't. That can't be a report when you heard Steve Cohen say what he said at that amazing day. I mean, he seemed invested and interested and wanting to get it done and pissed off that it wasn't getting done because of how he bent over backwards for Juan Soto with Scott Boras. And now Scott Boras has got Pete Alonso and they're asking for all this other crap.
See, that's the problem when you have all these agents that are representing, like one agent representing most of the players. You know, you think, all right, he's got to do his best for the high-priced player, but he's also got to do his best for the next highest priced player on his personal roster. And now there are expectations from the Mets that, you know, you got to be more reasonable with this guy because we gave this other guy all the money that he wanted and a suite and this and, you know, all the little perks. Now, all of a sudden, if you're Pete Alonso, you're like, wait a minute, just like if you were Saquon Barkley, I've been there. I've been doing a million things for you guys. I show up. I play almost every game. You know, when you have your autograph nights or your special nights, I'm out there, I'm signing autographs, I'm being the best Met player I can be. The fans love him. Just like I think a lot of the fans loved Saquon Barkley, they even love him more now after what he did this year with the Eagles.
Yeah.
Because they see what it looks like, you know, when he's behind a healthy offensive line, he's got a quality quarterback, 2 quality wide receivers, and next thing you know, he's running for 2,000 yards and breaking records. So now the question is that going to be Pete Alonso for the Mets if the Mets don't sign him?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of similarities there. The one thing that I think is a big difference are the Mets are expected to be good with or without him, where the Giants are expected to be trash no matter what.
You know what? You know? I just, like, right now I sit here, and maybe I'll be wrong in August. The Mets have got to re-sign him. They have to. The more I think about his popularity with fans,
the more I think about Saquon Barkley, what he's done in Philadelphia, and maybe, you know, maybe Pete goes to Toronto or somewhere else, but they should be close. I think Steve Cohen wants to get it done. And if you put him in that lineup, you know, it could be a completely different set of circumstances because of Juan Soto's presence in that lineup.
It could be.
It could be. And that's the thing that the Dodgers are spending so much goddamn money, it doesn't even matter. I mean, the Dodgers are going to be there. They are going to be there. It's ridiculous how much money they're spending.
Yeah.
Now, the Yankees are going to cakewalk through the American League, I think.
Probably.
I'm making that prediction right now. They will be in the World Series. We'll have some bitching and complaining in July and August, but they're going to the World Series. The Mets right now have got to deal with like five different teams. Of course, the Braves. Of course, the Phillies, the Padres, and the Dodgers. I mean, that's about it in the National League. Maybe Milwaukee. Maybe they'll do something. I don't know what the Cubs are going to be doing. But I mean, it's just it's ridiculous. Like, why? If you're the Pirates, what are you doing?
Well, I spent 5 years asking that question.
You're the Reds. What are you? You win your division, I guess. And then you can get into the playoffs and get swept right out.
Well, you want to try to be the Cleveland of your division. That's what you want to be.
What is this turning into? I mean, baseball is so like have and have not.
No, it's been like that forever.
Yeah, but it's even worse now.
No, I actually think it's better now.
The Dodgers are making a mockery out of it.
Well, yeah, but I think it's better now because of the revenue sharing and the competitive balance tax, which you didn't have, where teams can get that money. So I was worse back in the day when there was absolutely nothing punitive for you to go over a certain salary mark with your whole payroll, and then also the revenue sharing stuff that has gone up over the last number of years. But yeah, it's haves and have nots, and luckily we're in a town where there's two halves.
And that's why I say I don't give a damn. Steve Cohen, spend the money, give him a few extra million bucks, so what?
Yeah, but
who cares?
Do you feel though that like we knew that Saquon, you know, number two overall pick, we knew how talented he was. Like, do you see Pete Alonso as that same type of guy? Like, it's not like
he hit 50 home runs in a year.
No, I know, but he's just the year that he had last year, and baseball being more of an individual sport. You know, you could blame all these other things, bad quarterback, bad offensive line, or whatever you want to say. With Saquon,
yep.
When you're Pete and you put up those numbers, you got nowhere to go but to blame Pete.
But think about it. I would also say that, you know, much like Eli Manning, Pete Alonso shows up and plays.
Yeah.
Plays pretty much every game. And I don't think his defense, these metrics and these analytics, I see a guy over there that can handle first base. I see a guy that can make pretty much every play. He's not going to be spectacular. He's going to be what I would consider steady. But I also believe that his presence in the lineup helps everybody else.
Yeah, I think you've got more frustration and anger towards the Mets side, where I think you should have it more toward Pete Alonso's side.
I think 3 years, $70 million or something is probably legitimate with an opt out or two, whatever that may be, whatever they're screaming about. It's really more how you pay him. But
well, that's what Cohen was saying.
He is a fan favorite. We know that. You know that. Everybody else knows that.
That's not why you sign a guy.
But that's one of the reasons. All right, Saquon Barkley is a fan favorite. He didn't stay here. And now that Saquon's season is over, who's everybody blaming? Joe Shane. Because, you know, John Merrill walked in that room on TV and said, you know, I'd hate to see him in a Philadelphia uniform. You know, that's good.
Yeah.
Whatever, however he said that. I mean, that's going to be the same thing here. Went to a rival. If he went to a rival, it would be a little bit more. Like, if he went to the Phillies.
Yeah, it would be. I don't think he's going to any of those teams.
No,
I
mean, he's not. It's Toronto.
So then he'll be up in Toronto, like, you know, big deal. But also, I really think it's really important to, if the Mets are having a bad year, which we don't expect them to have, but it could happen. We've seen it many times that they've had high expectations and it hasn't worked out. But if they're having a bad year, then that conversation happens only if Pete Alonso is having a great year. But the Giants, we knew the Giants were going to be terrible. And we knew the Eagles were going to be pretty good. So it's like, I think that if Pete Alonso goes and the Mets are playing really well and Lindor's having another great season and Juan Soto's doing all the stuff we expect him to do and they're winning games and they're at the top of their division or close to it, like, nobody's going to be thinking about it.
My thought was like, you know, keep Pete, and bolster the pitching staff and the you know, and the relief staff, and then add Juan Soto, spend the money, who cares? You got yourself a team that is definitely worthy of getting back there, at least to the National League Championship Series. There's no question in my mind. You know, now you have to move Vientos over. You're thinking that maybe Beatty's going to be the guy, or they'll fill in around the trade deadline. They'll do something. But I do think that they need to re-sign Pete Alonso. I do. I wasn't...
Well, they're trying.
I understand that. And I think everybody has come off of this 6 and 7 year nonsense deal because of what happened last year and because of his age. But I just feel like they have to get it over the finish line. And because the player was offered an amount of money that he turned down, unfortunately for him, I think, you know, the Mets have to really, really think hard and long about the impact that he would have on this team with Juan Soto in the lineup. I just think that, you know, now you're really fortifying you have every aspect covered. You got home run hitting covered. You got average, covered. You got defense covered. You got it all covered. If you keep him and you keep him in that lineup, it would be unbelievable.
Continue with your calls, 888-808-1019. Remember, Aaron Boone in studio tomorrow, so really looking forward to that. And we will have Aaron Glenn's introductory press conference. I keep on saying McDougie in my head. I don't know why that is.
Muji,
there you go. Why am I keep saying McDougie? Muji.
Are you thinking McDowell's? Are you thinking the movie maybe? A little Coming to
McDowell's,
America?
McDowell's, yeah. Muji, all right. Well, we'll hear from both those guys, so really looking forward to that, BT, and then dissecting that and reacting to it coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. Let's get back to the phones here. We've been talking a lot about championship weekend, of course, yesterday's games, but also about what happened at Amazing Day on Saturday with the booing of David Stearns and Steve Cohen dropping the truth bomb about what's going on with the negotiations. Dustin is on Staten Island. What's up, Dustin?
What's up? Lifelong Mets fan. I was there on Saturday. I wasn't in the room when they booed Stearns, but I wish I was so I could have joined in. It's not about Alonso, but it's like, you know, the Dodgers are signing everybody under the sun, and here we are signing. We signed Soto, but that's Griffin Canning, Jose Siri. It's like, are we going to compete with these guys?
Oh my God! You would boo David Stearns? How long have you been a Mets fan?
I wish I was, not because of Alonso. I would have booed him because he's obsessed with these projects. He wants to develop all these guys.
How'd they do it? You would boo? How? First of all, how long have you been a Mets fan, Dustin?
About 24 years.
Okay, you're 24 years old.
No, 32.
Okay, 32. So you're a little bit old. You should know better. Being in your 30s, you should know better. You're going to boo a general manager who in his first year took a team that I would bet you didn't like last year going into the season, but somehow got him to the NLCS. You're going to boo that guy?
Boo him because he's not doing what he should be doing right now. He's signing Soto off for what? He's not signing anybody to put behind him.
Dustin, let me hit you with this here. So, I got you, but don't you think it's a little more fair if you boot him like if we get to the middle of the season and Pete's in Toronto, and Beatty's just really a 4A player, and he's back in the minors, and Vientos is at first base, and maybe his head's a little swimming, he's not performing the way he did a year ago. Don't you think it's fair then? Because I would. Then you could say, wow.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely fair.
Well, at least give him a chance this year.
I was a huge fan of what he did last year. He did what he did with Severino and Minaya, but
yep.
You can't bank on that every year.
No, I understand that, but until it proves that it doesn't work, then there's really nothing to react to yet. That's all I'm saying.
All right, that's fair.
Yeah.
Well, but then you're saying you want to boo the guy. And you also, like, I love how now Met fans are so arrogant. It actually is really ticking me off, BT.
Here we go. Let's go.
It really is. Met fans are now so arrogant that they're poo-pooing the Mets signing Juan Soto. You didn't believe that they were going to get him when I told you they were going to get him. You didn't want to believe it. Then they do get him. They paid nearly $800 million for him. He's the biggest free agent signing in the history of sports. And you're like, well, yeah, but then what? I mean, like, when will it end? Good God, you have an owner who spends left and right, up and down. He's doing everything he can to make you, the fan, happy. You have a general manager that has a proven track record winning in a small market in Milwaukee, getting to the postseason every single year. He did it here in his first year where we all said, your team sucked. You say playoffs, we say 75 wins. They get to the NLCS, they sign Juan Soto, and it's still not good enough. How? How, like, come on. You get on me, oh, you're too negative. No, I'm fair. When they deserve to be criticized, I will criticize with the best of them. But this is not the time to criticize.
I meant to ask you, actually, how was the crowd around Soto? Speaking of Soto, how was the crowd around Soto on Amazing Day?
Yeah, I heard he was not there.
He didn't show up?
There was some issue with the flights or something like that.
Early trouble in paradise, perhaps. You know, maybe he's not enthralled with the off-season plan.
I did see Mrs. Cohen there.
How's Alex doing?
Very good.
Yeah,
she's
yeah.
Very
did
nice.
You talk to her?
Yeah. I introduced myself finally.
Nice.
I was a little nervous.
Yeah.
She said, you know, I'm the guy who dresses up like King Cohen.
I didn't say that, did you?
She said, oh, anything with King Cohen we love. And I don't know if she was lying or not, but she did say I had a good voice.
Okay.
I like that. It just said, we love what your husband is doing, all that stuff. Anyway, it was
For now.
Yeah, well.
No, I'm just teasing.
It was really cool to be out there.
It had to be a great day.
But yeah, it was really fun. But you know what I'm saying, right? Like, if in fact the Mets don't perform, I will criticize them. Like, we'll get on them. Hey, you, Stearns, took a chance. We didn't love this rotation. Clay Holmes, by the way, we had him on.
That's all.
I believe he's going to be okay here as a starter. But still yet to be determined. You know, Montas, who loves that idea? Senga. Like, I feel like their rotation needs more. But boo-worthy coming off. Like, we're now holding the Mets to championship standards, which is why we can nitpick a little bit. But boo-worthy and to not trust Cohen and Stearns, that's a whole different animal.
That was a good rant, so I don't need to double down here. Even though we see the Pete situation a little bit differently, I would say this, all right? So I'm going to just boil it down in a nutshell. Mets overachieved the year ago. It was David Stearns' first year. Most of the things that you guys criticized going into last season, most of them paid immediate dividends. You are booing him when all he's done, again, a small sample, is done well for you. At least see where year two goes, and then react.
Yeah.
I mean, that is the bottom line.
I really do think it comes down to Alonso, where fans don't believe, they think the narrative that Stearns doesn't want Alonso is true, and they don't like that. And they hear guys like Beningo saying, oh, this guy Stearns, the boy genius. He never spent any money. He doesn't want to spend that. They hear that.
Well, dissing Joe now, huh? Getting on Joe.
No, I'm just saying. Hey, Joe and I had a great time out there. It was fun, but no, I'm just saying that they hear that. And I disagree with Joe on this. I think that, and it's not just Joe.
But I think Joe speaks for a lot of fans. I disagree with Joe too. I think that that's nuts. And I think I almost always disagree with Joe lately.
You both like Glenn.
But I mean, you know, I don't know. I feel like most of the things Joe is saying these days, I completely disagree with.
He's a legend. I get it.
Of course he is.
And I'm like, he's entitled to his opinion. That's fine.
Yeah.
I just, like, at some point, you got to have some kind of, like, substance.
But just keep in mind, a lot of fans still, and maybe not as much because he's not on every day, still take their emotional cue from Joe.
And
Joe's not alone.
Understood.
You know what I mean?
Well, I know, but they hear people like Joe. And I don't even know where this narrative comes from. It's just not an accurate one.
Yeah.
Like, David Stearns, we're going to rip Stearns for saying that they're not going to spend on Pete, but we're not going to give him credit for signing Juan Soto?
Wait, I got to pull up a quote. I have to make sure. Now, you did the show with him. You have to tell me if this is true.
Yeah.
It was from Joe. Let's see. What did Joe say? Oh, this is quick. Guys like, this is apparently Joe. I don't know if this is true. Yeah. Guys like Stearns in life are the people who weren't good enough to play or have a social life with regular people. The way to get back later in life is to run things and stick it up to regular people, or fans in this case, to show them they're superior and smarter. He's bad news, Met fans, end quote. Did he say that?
If he said that, I didn't hear it. I don't think he said that with me.
If he said that,
come on,
that's
dude.
Ridiculous.
But
he's bad news, Mets fans. That honestly, and we always preface it because we don't want to get this hijacked. We love Joe, we respect Joe, we know Joe. That is ridiculous.
That's ridiculous. This is what I'm talking about. He's also saying, and Joe was really adamant about saying he's our guy. I've been a Mets fan forever. I'm tired of losing our guys, going back to Seaver and this and that and Darryl, all that stuff. It's a totally different animal here, different regime. And again, I don't mean to make Joe the focal point here, but it's just one guy that we were having the conversation with. Mark is calling from Stony Brook. What's up, Mark?
Hey, first time, long time, fellas. And I'd just like to tell you, this seems like another Tom Seaver issue. I mean, this is all about money, okay? And you signed Soto to $800 million.
Yeah.
It's insulting.
But Mark,
he's been here since.
Mark, I'm not going to hang up on you. Mark, but I can't let that first statement go unchecked here. And we're not hanging up. I'm certainly give you a chance to fire back, or at least converse back, not fire back. But unless you want to. When Seaver was traded,
Tom Seaver was irrefutably one of the greatest right-handed pitchers in the history of baseball, which, by the way, he still is. If Pete Alonso winds up with Toronto, it's because he just doesn't do enough things well on a baseball field. Now, go ahead.
All right, but now what I'm getting at is it's all about money. You signed Soto to $800 million. You're insulting Pete, who's only been in the league five or six years.
Mark, I can't take it. Here's how we're going to end this conversation. You say it's all about money. Do you think Steve Cohen doesn't want to spend to make the Mets better?
I'm not getting at that. What I'm trying
you
to
said,
say
no,
is...
No, you this, said, no, no, you right, said wait, it's all about the all money. Right. You all said right, it's well, all... Listen, so then I ask you a question. Well, hold on. Then I ask you a very simple question. You said, Mark in Stony Brook, you call and say it's all about the money. Then I ask you a question. Do you think Steve Cohen wants to spend to make the Mets better?
Yes, he does. But in retrospect, okay, he spent $800 million on Soto, and you compare Soto's statistics to Alonso's as far as home runs and RBIs averaged per year. What is it? He's got a 30 points average higher.
Mark, what's the point? Do you think Alonso's...
Well, the point is, how do you award somebody $800 million and then you're giving the guy here who's averaged over 40
because
home runs
he's better! Thank you for the call. It's not even close! It's not even close! You're not in the same universe! It's not even close! Like, I can't believe that we sat there and listened to that for 45 seconds or however long it went on, that you actually think, A, it's about money, which it's not about money. Now, is it about market value? Sure, like, I think you gotta be responsible, but Steve Cohen has proven many times over that he will overextend if he feels it's a good investment. And then you top that off by saying that Pete Alonso is comparable to Juan Soto as a player.
Now, you just look at Soto, and there were other teams holding basically Fort Knox, anxious to give it to him.
Yeah, right.
We don't know of any real concrete offers for Pete. That's the biggest way to differentiate between the two.
It's another great point. And it goes back to the Nimmo thing as well. Like, was Nimmo worth the contract that he got?
No.
Okay, but there were other teams willing to give it. It was the market. Mm-hmm. Steve Cohen has not lost that. DeGrom, I think, is a great example. I don't think they really wanted DeGrom back. I think that they would have taken him back. I think they want Pete back more than they wanted DeGrom back then. DeGrom was always hurt. DeGrom didn't want to be here. Mm-hmm. And DeGrom got a lot more money than the Mets were willing to pay. But it's not like Steve Cohen wasn't willing to spend the money. He then turned that into Justin Verlander. Doesn't mean the move obviously didn't work out, but still, he showed a willingness to spend the money. He just signed Juan Soto for the ridiculous amount of money that he did. You know, he tried to get Yamamoto and others. Like, you don't think that Steve Cohen wants to spend the money? He will in the right investment. And in this spot, he's still willing to spend on Pete, but based on what the market says. Soto's market said 765. Pete's market is barely saying 100, if that.
I mean, the lack of offers speak volumes. I mean, people can kind of distort the reality of it, and I get it, again, because it's emotionally based for many of you, including the last call, but when you step back from that and you look at the offers or the lack thereof, that's all you need to know. That's the story.
I can't get worked up about it anymore, but it is like banging your head against the wall here.
Nah, you can't get worked up. Just go listen to yourself for the last segment. Nah, I can't get worked up anymore. Nah.
I'm surprised you're not getting worked up. They're saying Pete's better than Soto, this guy.
Well, you know, when you go high, I go a little low.
I get it.
I mean, there's a lot of times where we both go high, and there's a lot of times where we both go low. Right. Maybe not the conventional low, but you nailed it. I don't need to replicate that. I mean, but I also don't agree with everything that you say about how much the Mets want him. Now, the Soto Pete campaign is just ludicrous, and you dismissed that, so I don't need to add to that. But I the thing that I give more credence than you is that I think I'm more willing to incorporate maybe some bad takes or bad opinions because the emotions have hijacked the reality for some, which I do understand.
Right.
Pete is their guy.
Right. I get it. I just would like to see a more evolved thought process.
Yeah.
And that's me saying that, who is an irrational, passionate fan.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm saying that, hey, the Mets are doing the right thing here, this is on Pete. You, I mean...
Will you say the same thing if they don't get Vlad and Beatty is a 4A player.
Well, no, then what happens is, let's say Beatty comes up and is no good.
Uh-huh.
They're going to need an answer for it.
Mm-hmm.
And if Mauricio's no good, then what do you think we're going to be doing? We'd be yelling and screaming and say, hey, you got to get somebody to protect Juan Soto in that lineup. That's what we would be. I'm not just going to sit back and say, oh, yeah, well, everything's great. Now, I don't think that we're going to have to say that, because I believe that they will react in accordance with what's going on.
Yep.
They're already in on Vlad, meaning they've checked in on him. So Vlad could be here before spring training. Vlad could be here at the deadline. Vlad could be here next offseason. Vlad may never be here. But if not, then okay, well, who's next? Because you got to build this team up. We all agree that on paper they're not as good as the Dodgers or maybe even the Braves or the Yankees potentially. But still, they're still a top, even now, they're still a top five team in the sport. Let's not get hung up on the wrong things here. Booing the guy because Pete Alonso wants more money. BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll have Aaron Glenn Presser coming up as well. I don't have the read here, Dove. Did you give it to BT? You're saying slam dunk, but you have the slam dunk there?
I had one of them, if I could just find it. Yeah, I mean,
okay,
yeah,
I had
awesome
one before. No, it is a great cut. Okay, well, usually I do a read, I get rid of it. Anyway, BT and Sal on the Fan.
God, this is the one. Oh, God. Oh. Pop, are you watching the video here?
Yes, I'm staring at it right now.
Can you at least, you know, I mean, not make me look like the tool that I probably sound like?
Well, the song makes you sound like a tool.
Okay,
the video, I wouldn't put the music on to watch the video. Let's put that way.
That is a byproduct that I'm willing to deal with. Yes, yes, it is. All right, BT and Sal. Sal is having surgery today, so we wish him the best. And he's off tomorrow as well. And we'll do 3RQ, do a little St. John's later. So before I get back to the phones, 888-808-1019, obviously some football as well. We sit here January 29th, and I thought that, you know, when the Mets got Soto, for sure, and when the Yankees made their multiple big moves, and we know what they were, if you ask me then, at the conclusion of the Soto situation and the Yankees moves, ending with Goldschmidt, if you ask me, hey, are the Yankees going to do something else? And this did come up, obviously. You could check it as a matter of record. My response generally was probably not. I don't think they're going after Bregman. If anything, maybe a little ancillary piece. We talked about Arias a little bit, but I did not think that the Yankees would make another big move, okay? Now, the Mets, I thought that they would. I thought for sure that they would make another move, and they have not, outside of, you know, retaining Manaea. Now, the Padres situation is very, very worth monitoring. They're in a situation now. So as of today, their competitive balance tax for 2025 is $246.8 million. The threshold's $241. So they're above it. And that obviously comes with penalties, and that's not anything the Padres want to deal with. And it's also above last year's payroll, which was a little less than $228 million. Now, it's not confirmed. It's more assumed in the industry that they're going to try to shed some money to make some moves, which leads us to a trio of players. We've talked about Dylan Cease. We've talked about Luis Arias for both Arias for the Yanks and the Mets, a little bit less with the Mets. We haven't really talked much about Cease, but now we got to start talking about Michael King. Hey, by the way, did the big Hurls just get a look at that? Did he just get a look at the video? Huh? Did Hurls just get a look at the video? Is that what was going on?
No, we were looking at the cast of Grease 2.
Oh, the cast of Grease
2. He's locked in. He knows everybody. Shooter McGavin.
Oh, he's
in
a fan too. Hey, see, Hurley knows talent when he sees it.
Yeah, I don't know if this is talent.
Adrian Zemed was the the lead like John Travolta. Anyway, are you a fan of Cool Rider though, Hurley? Yes, he gives me the thumbs up. That's right. Hoff, you better get your act together, man. You're a disaster with this stuff. Thought you had good musical taste. So the Yankees and the Mets, and this is more for the Mets, absolutely much more for the Mets. They must be on the horn with San Diego right now. Like, you have team, I promise you, like the Braves lost Max Fried. You don't think the Braves are going to mess around and try to get their hands on Dylan Cease or Michael King? Now, Michael King, and it's not peanuts for the Padres because right now, they're over the threshold, and again, they're going to get penalized. I mean, he's asking for, I think he filed for $8.8 million, which is nothing. The guy's a stud, and the team counter with 7.3, and they've got their hearing coming in a couple of weeks. Now, are you telling me that the Braves don't try to jump in on this, or maybe the Orioles, or maybe the Red Sox who are loading up on some pitching, or Toronto who could use some pitching. I mean, there's teams that are going to be knocking on the Padres' door for multiple players. Why in the world are the New York Mets not at the front of the line? I mean, how was this rotation? And you can really put it, excuse me, in any order that you want. How about a little starting five of Manaea? Let's go with Michael King. Let's go with Senga. I mean, a healthy Senga. Manaea, King, Senga. And then whether it's Peterson, four, Montas, four, Clay Holmes, who's going to get a look. And I think he's going to actually be a pretty decent starter. Are you telling me that there's not an avenue for the Mets to turn right now an average but interesting upside rotation to an ultimate strength? I think that there is. See, that's what the Yankees did. The Yankees lost Soto. And while they address some other needs and areas of deficiency, Bellinger a better base runner, better fielder, blah, blah, blah. We know the moves. They went out and they got a stud, the best pitcher on the market, to add to an already beast of a rotation. Why in the world are the Mets not in on Michael King? They gotta be. They have to be. You're not going to resign Pete? And even though that seems to be rekindled a bit, we'll get to that later, you have to at least call and see what they want for King. All right, 888-808-1019. Let me get John and Bayonne. What's happening, John?
Oh, BT, I was really wanted to call you about the Boone thing, but that guy that said that Cole was a bum in the playoffs. Well, what the heck is he watching?
Not the guy that I've watched. I know that Garrett Cole got lit up against the Red Sox a couple of years back. I trust Garrett Cole, and I respect him as much as anybody.
Well, so did Clemens, and so did any said it, Patrick. No. Okay, so listen, it's a team sport. It ain't just a pitcher sport, okay? It's not golf. But I loved the show yesterday, you and Booney. It was fantastic, and it wasn't any great to go out with a manager, because I did this with Frank Howard.
Okay, Big Frank.
Yeah. And we were driving back from my sports bar. I was driving back to the hotel, and I said, Big Frank, I said, let me ask you a question. Who was the best manager I ever played for? He said, Billy Martin. I said, Billy Martin? Yeah, that's right, the Detroit Tigers. He goes, yeah. He said, win or lose, we go out drinking, and that little son of a bitch drink me under the table.
Things like that.
That's what really you want to talk about, but you can't talk about it in the air because that's, you know.
Well, I mean, you can have some fun. I mean, you know, it's a little bit of a different day, and Boone's a married man, and Boone's got, you know, a bunch of children, and Boone's going home after the game, and it's just a different world. I mean, you know, Billy Martin and some of these old-timers sucking back seven whiskeys at a Lane's or wherever they're going in the city and getting into a fight, Copacabana Club, you know, with his boys. I mean, those days are over. It's a very different world. It's a more civilized society in some ways. It's also a lot more boring in some ways, too. I love Aaron Boone. I think he's a great guy. And I've defended Aaron. Not blindly. You know, there's things he does where I'm like, what are we doing? I didn't like him going to Nestor in game one of the World Series. I said it the next day, and we talked about it yesterday. Sal brought that up. But, you know, when you and I didn't like the way he handled, at least publicly, Gleyber Torres. And we talked about that as well. The entire thing is on our YouTube page, Free Odyssey app. He was in here for an hour. I got to be honest with you, though. And Dove, I want your answer. You've been at the station for a long time. Aaron Boone is a third-generation baseball man. The premise of him coming in here was the baseball card game. And we knew we'd talk shop and, you know, get into the World Series and to the 2025 season coming up. But the main thing was one-on-one. Me versus Boone, Sal versus Boone, pick a pack from the 80s, let's roll. This man's dad played with almost every one of those guys in the pack. Be honest, are you surprised we beat him?
Oh, yes.
You are, aren't you?
Yes. By the way, when you guys play all the time,
yeah,
you didn't do as well as you did yesterday. This might be...
You know, see, this is where, of course, you take it the wrong direction. See, that's not what you're supposed to say. Well, you're supposed to say, you see, this is why you're the show killer. Why would you say that? There's people hearing this for the first time saying, wow, those two guys, they crushed Booney at the bat. They must be unbelievable. Don't tell them we're not unbelievable all the time. Why would you say that?
Truth hurts sometimes.
No, the truth doesn't hurt. We're awesome.
Yes. However, you were more awesome than usual.
I did not think. I'll just speak for myself. I'm not going to use the word nervous because I don't get nervous with that stuff. I get maybe a little bit too amped up, sometimes a little dialed in, too much. I wanted to win. I knew I wasn't going to get waxed. Like, there's no way he was coming into our arena and blasting us. I knew it was going to be tight. I didn't necessarily expect to win, if I'm going to come clean. I mean, this guy's on the field watching these dudes take batting practice. I mean, the more I think about it, hey, Booney.
Baby sat for their kids.
I know. He told us that hysterical story. He's a good dude, man. And I'm happy he got to the World Series. And I did ask him, again, we talked so much about so many interesting things. And I guess I believe him when he says he doesn't really process it this way, maybe down the road when he's done as the manager of the Yankees. But, you know, up until last year, no Yankee manager had won as many games without getting to or winning a World Series. And that's a fact that was undeniable and irrefutable until this past October. So I think on a lot of levels, I think Aaron Boone needed that. Now, it would have been nice for the team to win, but I think the Dodgers were just better. And I don't think Cashman gave him a very, very great team. A great team. I don't. It was a flawed American League, and it was a flawed Yankee roster. But to get there, forget about the fact that, Yankee fan growing up, I was happy for Boone. I truly was. He's a good dude. Hopefully we'll get him back on. And by the way, he says, yeah, leading up to the interview or the conversation, you know how many times I said to Sal, hey, we do a bet, right? We got to play for something. And every time I'd say, hey, if we beat Boone, I think we got to take batting practice on the field. Or he's like, no. And I'm like, what do you mean no? I guarantee he'll let us do it. And, of course, I bring it up to Boone. He's like, yeah, we'll let you come down and have a little long toss on the field. Like,
you put him on the spot.
I didn't put him on the spot.
You put him on the spot. If he said no, that would be impossible.
But I knew he
would. He didn't really say yes.
Yes, he did. I talked to him after. I did, actually. I actually talked to him. I won't say, like, that part. But, excuse me. Listen, there's an old adage. You don't get what you don't ask for. Am I right or wrong?
Dude, you walk in everywhere like you own every place.
Nah,
you walked into MLB Network last year and you had the wiffle ball bats out.
I did.
And started hitting homers.
I'm a little worried if we do it this year, which we're trying to. I don't know if I can swing because of this damn shoulder. Oh, God. But anyway, I will make, because we love to do bets on the show, I will make a bet with you, Hoff. And I know, and I'll put Sal in here even though he's not here. You and Sal, and we'll find out what it's about at some point. I guarantee that we will be on that Yankee Stadium grass. I don't know if we're going to hit. We will have gloves, and we will be having a catch. Guaranteed.
Okay.
You don't believe so?
No.
Okay. Well, then you're not invited. go to Queens. There are things that happen sometimes in sports. They're so special. You not just only remember where you were, you remember how you celebrated it. So a couple of years ago, do you remember the MLB work stoppage that we had during the offseason?
I do indeed.
Well, it caused great pain for me as a diehard baseball fan and Chris McMonagle, our overnight host. And you know, at first it was like, lockout, it's December, whatever. Like, no big deal. January, no big deal. Once they started canceling games, which they actually were doing, it caused a lot of harm and it caused a lot of pain. So when the lockout was settled, I'll never forget me and Chris McMonagle literally jumping into each other's arms. We were that excited.
Is that right?
Yeah, we were really, really excited.
We hit the 160 games.
Yeah, it's back. We were so happy. I think it was caught on digital, so it's probably out there somewhere in the social media universe. And I'll also never forget just a few months ago, I was doing a live Rico Bronya. Sal Licata was on with me. Pete Hoffman was on with me. The great Tommy Lugauer was on with me. And as Tommy popped into our Juan Soto wait party, we got the news that Juan Soto was signing with the New York Mets. And I went nuts. Sal went nuts. Tommy was like, had this smile on his face, like something else was going on. It was an incredible moment. And none of us will ever forget it. So the question that me and Tommy have to figure out is, if Pete Alonso re-signs with the New York Mets, and let's say it happens, I don't know, at 3:27 p.m., Tiki and I are talking, we're breaking down Mike Kafka. Yeah, it's a cool plays, what's happening? All of a sudden, the glass breaks, and Sean Morash says Pete Alonso has re-signed with the New York Mets. Tommy, because I don't know the answer, and sometimes this is just kind of like emotional how you react to it, are we going to have some kind of celebratory reaction where we're going nuts and we're jumping into each other's arms and we're screaming. Like, does this, if it happens, warrant that kind of celebration?
Still got that beard on you, pal?
I do.
Okay. I think we need to have a ceremony. When it happens, I think we need to go into the men's room together. We got to be clear what we're doing in there. And I think that we need to flush Pete Alonso, your beard hair, down the toilet and have some type of ceremony. We'll be on the air. You and I will call from the men's room and we will flush it down the toilet. So it'll be celebratory, but also a ceremony because that beard symbolizes in many ways Pete Alonso not signing the extension. So we're flushing it down the toilet because Pete is back with the Mets.
That's a good idea. Yeah. Now, if he leaves, are we still flushing it, but it'll be a more somber ceremony?
We have that Pete Alonso jersey. I don't think we should do anything bad. I'm trying to think.
What are we going to do with the Pete Alonso jersey? It's autographed. It's signed.
No, I know. And ultimately,
we love Pete.
We do love Pete. I think we have to flush the hair also down the toilet if he leaves.
I was going
to
say, I think the hair gets flushed.
I think either way.
I was thinking if Pete resigns, I go crazy, right? I say, Tiki, excuse me, can you take over the show? I run out of the studio. Tiki's like, can you believe Evan? He's crazy. I come back with the hair, and then I throw it in the air like confetti. I was thinking of that.
No, let's not do that. So again, we don't need Sean out for another month.
No, we don't.
And the studio is communal. So the toilet, we could just flush it, and nobody has to breathe it in. So I would not throw it out there like it's ashes. Okay. But I would flush it down the toilet. We'll do a little ceremony.
I think I like your idea. I do. I think that after we celebrate or mourn, I think it goes either way, we end this saga by having a live ceremony from the WFAN men's room where we flush the beard hair of my Pete Alonso guarantee.
Now, as far as celebration goes or mourning, I think that should always be natural, much like when James Harden got traded to the Nets and we got fat, fat, fat.
Yeah.
So I don't want to tell you or myself what to do when it happens. I think we have our guttural response and then we have the ceremony right after it.
I got you. I think my guttural response is going to be really pumped up. Like, and I get it'll be obnoxious. I apologize in advance, but I think I will be very pumped up because I want the guy back. I do. I want the guy on the Mets. You do too.
Can you give us an example?
Yes! Probably like that.
Stand up a little bit when you do.
I'm going to stand up.
Yeah, do one of those. Yeah!
It's going to be so much more overstated than that.
You think so?
Absolutely.
Speak it into existence.
Can you
practice it?
Can you, Tiki, imitate what you think I'll do when Pete Alonso, or if Pete Alonso resigns live on the air?
So the New York Giants are trying to figure out who's going to call plays next year, Tiki. And I don't know. I mean, Brian Dave's probably going to give it up for, oh my God! Oh my God! Pete Alonso's coming back! He is back!
I gotta go. Where's my hair? I gotta go. Where's my hair? I gotta get my hair. Tiki, take over the show. Sean, say something.
That's what's gonna happen.
That was
really good.
They say Gio's got the best imitations. I think Tiki's got him beat. It's very accurate.
Can you guys even celebrate, though?
Why wouldn't we?
Why wouldn't they?
Well, because we all know it's basically going to be a multi-year deal with the option after year one. It's a stay of execution for a year.
By the way, that part, taking away your douchiness of it.
I'm just stating the fact.
No, you're not wrong about that, and I've stated that. Hmm. That Pete back on a short-term deal means at some point.
I know the answer.
The answer to what?
Ooh, can I answer this one?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, good. So, what the Mets need this year, Sean, is a chance to win.
That's right.
And Pete Alonso gives them the best opportunity to win. And if it's a one-year deal, ultimately it becomes a one-year deal because he opts out and thinks he can get more money elsewhere because he's fired Pete Scott Boris and now maybe somebody with competency is going to get him a deal someplace else. Great. You know who's coming available? Vlad Jr.
Yeah.
So they'll be happy. And also happy.
So yes. They're getting their cake and eating it, too.
Yeah, yes. I think you're mostly right about that. I also look at life and sports as things can change really fast.
Right.
So you take it a year at a time. So if Pete's back on a short-term deal with a potential opt-out, I'll worry about next year when we get to next year. Like, that's not something I'm going to freak out about now. I'm never going to scream in my excitement, Pete's a lifelong Met, he married us, something like stupid like that. I don't know why I would ever scream that when someone signs an extension. He's married us. He loves us. He's never leaving us. I've never said that before. Only one time. And it didn't work out very well.
Yeah, he might be back next year, so we could relive that moment again when he signs with the Nets.
That was when Durant got extended live on the air. I freaked out in raw animalistic excitement. But no, to answer your point, Sean, even though you're not wrong that it's shortish term,
I think there would still be some raw animalistic excitement over the fact that Pete Alonso's back. And hopefully we're on the air for it. Or we're doing a live Rico. Apparently, I'm planning on doing a stoned Rico tonight, so we'll see how that goes. More on that later.
No smoke, just gummies.
That's right. It's a gummy edition of the Rico. 888-808-1019. Nick is in Dobbs Ferry. How are you, Nick?
Hey, how you doing, Evan?
Good.
What's up, man?
Yeah, just before I start, I just want to apologize to you, actually, because I called you up before and I made it sound like I was lying about a story of you finding a Tiki Barber football in the creek, but I just want you to know that.
No, it's okay. You got it. You had a lot of good facts in that one, and we cleared it up, but thank you, Nick. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I'm happy you pieced it together, because I was like, why does it? I feel like I know this is true, and then
hey, Nick, you're not the only one. Memory is fallible. The more you remember something, the more you change it.
It's true.
That's the truth, so... Evan's memory is perfect, though, so it's all good.
Right.
What's up, Nick?
Evan, why do you even need to take a gummy tonight when you got Tiki? Just listen to him talk. He'll make you feel stoned.
That's a good point. That's right. Your words can do it for you.
Yeah, so my issue is I'll never blame Pete for wanting the money and stuff like that, but I think Tiki really hit on it about how Scott Boras really ruined, like, set the market, the bar way too high. And also, it's not just Scott Boras that I have a problem with. I have a problem with that guy on his payroll, John Heyman. I don't know if you guys were listening to the CMAX show last night, but this caller called in, and it sounded awfully a lot like John Heyman.
David
talking about how David Stern's Saturn doesn't align with Pete Alonso's Mars and how David Stern's is demonic and stuff like
that. Nick, I'm so glad you brought that call up. So I went to sleep again with WFAN on. I had it in my headphones.
Mm-hmm.
And I've told you that sometimes I dream things that are actually said on the station when I fall asleep with it on. So I fell asleep with Big Mac on, and luckily I didn't have any dreams. But I started to hear a guy talking about planets and signs when it came to David Stern's, Pete Alonso, what? And Steve Cohen.
Was this the planet alignment thing that just happened?
I don't even know.
Right.
Something about Pluto and Saturn.
Pluto's not a planet.
That's right. It was a planet. Then it got, like, basically pushed down the peg. So I woke up to it in a cold sweat. I'm like, am I dreaming this? And I hit the rewind button, and I heard that caller. And the morning show played it as well this morning. There was a caller to Big Mac. It was not a fantasy, who was explaining in astrology terms why David Stearns hates Pete Alonso. And I actually tried to cut it. And I was going to send it to Tommy. It was so convoluted that I gave up. And I said, you know what? It's not worth it. I'll just describe it. But yeah, that did happen. Now, our caller is claiming he thinks that's John Heyman. Let me defend the honor of Scott Boras John Heyman.
David,
that was not him. That was some other stoned guy calling Sports Talk Radio at 3 o'clock in the morning. But yes, John Heyman, it's almost like, here's my comparison. He'll never talk to me ever again. Do you remember Baghdad Bob? Guys, remember that?
No.
No? Let me explain it. So remember when we had a war with Iraq back in 2003?
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very controversial war. So we invaded, you know, we had this whole shock and awe of military campaign. And as we were invading Iraq, Baghdad Bob would say, there's no American troops here. We're doing great. The Iraqi military is the strongest it's ever been.
Strategery.
Saddam's having tea over there. There's no problems. Then they'd go back to Baghdad Bob, and literally you'd be seeing fire over his head. And he'd say, no Americans here. I don't see any Americans. Their military's weak. And so Baghdad Bob became a joke. Like, dude, come on. We see them.
Right.
They're right behind you. The American forces is the greatest military of all time. Like, they're invading. So in a way, John's Baghdad Bob. For Scott Boras. Now everything's great. He'll get a good guy. Mets better not lose this thing.
Nothing to see here. We're all good.
Right.
When in actuality, Pete is scrambling right now. I can only imagine the anxiety that he feels.